Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Songwriters on Process podcast. My name is Benno Papari, and since 2010, I've run the Songwriters on Process website, where you can find more than 200 conversations with songwriters about the creative process. I'm not here to talk about tour stories, band drama, how a band got its name, or favorite foods. My goal is to treat songwriters as writers, plain and simple. This is an intelligent conversation about the writing process between two writers. And today I have Ali and AJ. Ali and AJ Mishaka. I think I pronounced that last name correctly. Ali and AJ are both in their early 30s and have been signed their first record deal in 2004, which means that they've been they started recording when they were teenagers. You may know them also from their work, Disney movies, TV shows, voiceover work, movies, just a long career in entertainment. But as I said, they've been writing songs for almost 20 years at this point. And they recorded their album that came out last year, was their first album in 14 years. But a few weeks ago, they announced a new album coming out in the spring called With Love From. So it probably will come as no surprise that their songwriting processes are relatively similar. They work very closely together, very closely, as you'll hear in the interview. And I don't know how that would be. They could write songs together if they were like, you know, oil and water, if they just didn't mesh. So if one of them does something one way, the chances are the other one does it the same way. Not all the time, but there's a lot of overlap. They seem to work really well together. We talked a lot, you know, I hear this so often about the role of movement, role of exercise in their writing process, driving, walking, things like that. We also talked a lot about the role that literature plays in their songwriting as well. But I enjoyed this conversation. They were not in the same room, so it was, there was a lot of overlap in that in their process. As I said, Ali and AJ have a new album coming out With Love From in the spring. So check that out. And a few notes, upcoming site updates, Songwriters on Process site updates. My next two interviews I'll be posting are with The Lone Bellow. That was with all three of them. That's the first time I've interviewed three people at the same time. And then after that, it's Liz Stokes from The Beths. And if you do come to this podcast from my website, Songwriters on Process, it is undergoing a complete overhaul, completely new site design. Very excited about that. So with that, here is my interview with Ali and AJ. Yeah, AJ, let's start with you since you're on the screen.
Howard Stern interviewed, you know, Bruce Springsteen, and he asked Bruce Springsteen if he writes every day, and he said no, because I don't have something to say every day. And I thought that was really interesting that Bruce Springsteen said, yeah, you know, I don't have anything, some days I have nothing to say. And that really kind of surprised me. So yeah. I'm curious. Yeah, where do you fall into that? Are you a write every day kind of person, or don't push it if it's not happening?
No, I go through seasons. I it's funny. I actually watched that interview as well. And I can relate to Bruce with that particular sentence, him saying that, you know, he doesn't have something to say every day. Therefore, it's very hard to come up with a song every day. I mean, you know, I have a friend in Nashville who's become a co-writer with Ali and I, and he's just a dear person, really talented singer-songwriter based in Nashville. And he is someone who writes every single day. He'll just wake up with an idea and write, even if it's not like a fully formed thought or an idea that really takes up a song, he'll still just put pen to paper and just go for it. Me, I'm the type where I have to be in a mood. It's got to be the right environment. You know, Ali and I are the type, we're very like 9-to-5ers. I think it's because we started out so young as child actors that we're very much having like a time and a place and a responsibility to show up. And that's very much how we treat songwriting and recording. So when Ali and I are wanting to exercise the writing muscle, we will continue writing even if we don't have the plans of making an album right away. But for the most part, we have an idea in place for making the next record and we're writing towards that. But for instance, recently we started writing with this guy, Marshall, who's been fantastic. And we were just kind of trying for something that wasn't feeling right. It was almost like the record that we just finished that's about to come out next year is still like brewing. And I almost don't feel like I know exactly where to go yet on this next one. So we ended up just starting a Christmas record. And, you know, I don't know how many songs we'll get through. You know, it might be just a holiday EP, but it was really refreshing to write Christmas songs in December, knowing that you would have a full year before this would even come out for next December. But for me, there's really no rules. I mean, we've been writing for so long. I actually like don't envy the people at all that are just starting in the industry that are feeling like they need to start writing. Cause most singers now, if you're putting out music, you're kind of expected to write, which I don't think is fair. If it's not your gift, it's not your gift. Allie and I started writing at about 11 and 13 and you know, we're now in our early 30s. So the amount of material we've accumulated is beautiful, but we haven't always decided each song should become an actual produced final piece. So we have a lot of songs that have just kind of floated in the atmosphere that are never even going to be out. But I am really, like I said, I don't envy people that are just starting because I think there's a new pressure in songwriting that really shouldn't be there. If you love writing and you're good at it, great. If not, accept songs from other writers. You know, Allie and I are the type where that has just never worked for us. We've never felt connected to a song written for us. Not against it, but I really love writing our own material and we've been doing it for a really long time now.
Yeah. Allie, how about you? Do you force it or if it's not happening, you just don't write?
No, I definitely am more like, don't force it. And I think it's really hard to write every day because, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's writers out there that do that, but I also want to keep the magic and the excitement of songwriting and not make it feel like a daily chore in a way, you know? So I think that kind of helps like keep the like spontaneity behind songwriting still alive. Even after having done it now for, you know, almost 20 years. So I think, yeah, knowing that you're writing for something specifically, whether that's, you know, a future album or, you know, you're co-writing with someone else for something that they're doing, or maybe you're writing, you know, for a movie, having like an actual thing to write for always is helpful for me, at least, instead of just writing blatantly, not knowing what it is going to be, you know, brought into.
Yeah. Allie, do you journal at all?
You know, it's funny. Me and AJ are like, not journalers at all. And we never have been as teenage kids, or as adults. But I am very much someone that uses my notes app like consistently. Whether that's like an idea that I'll have for a song title or a lyric or, you know, something that I know might lead us down a path where we could, you know, begin writing a song based on it. I do keep an extensive list that's like ever changing in my phone. So that is like always very current, but in terms of journaling, no, I don't know why we never really got into it, but it's just not for us.
Yeah. Right. Allie and I right now are going through, we're doing like a end of year clean out. We're going through a bunch of keepsakes and memorabilia from our past, you know, as kids and as musicians and actors. And it's just been wild. It's like boxes and boxes in my garage. And they were all being stored in my dad's attic. And then he recently moved and was like, I need you guys to address like 20 boxes right now. Otherwise, I don't know what to do with them. So we've been going through them and looking back on like old like scribbles and notes and like old lyrics has been really, really sweet. But I've noticed if there's like a journal or a diary, the first five
like empty
out and then they're all empty. It's like, but they always start, like there's always a beginning. And then it's like, and they're blank after page six. It's really funny. And it's just, we're not really the types to document necessarily, but we both have a really good, memory. And we're also very, like experienced in terms of like travel and, you know, trying to open our minds up to different things our friends are going through or family members. And how do we turn that into a song? And so for us, it's really just day-to-day things that we feel inspired by that we end up writing about, as opposed to a daily journal.
Yeah. All right. So AJ, I'll continue with you. Then Allie, I want your take on this. Two very specific things. So you know, songwriters tell me they have hundreds of voice memos in their phones and there's no organization whatsoever to those voice memos. And I can just imagine frantically scrolling through saying, where is that melody? Where's that line? And I'm like, isn't there any organization? So do you have all those voice memos on your phone? And is there any organization whatsoever to those when you have to go back and say, gosh, there was a great melody I had, but I can't remember where it was.
I have them in mind. Do you have them, Age? Because I have like my lyrics, or at least I'll have the song that the idea was started on, and I'll have it in my voice note section underneath that song.
Yeah, I actually keep my voice memos really, really like detailed, because I know that the titling it is going to be really key, because voice memos do become an absolute mess. And I also do a lot of my voice recordings for like VO work, like whether it's commercial work or like for cartoons or animated films, on my voice notes. So everything is on my iPhone, and all of my songwriting, Allie and I, every time we come up with an idea or a harmony or a melodic line, in my voice memos. So I'm really specific how I label things. But yes, there are times where I'm like, hey, we started something 6 months ago and now we're back in the studio and I keep thinking about it and I need to go find it, and it will take a bit, but I have to say, for two people who have written a lot of songs, it's a pretty damn organized collection.
I'm impressed. That's not what I normally hear. So
we also, I think as we've gotten older, we do rely on voice memo, but I feel like we don't utilize it as much as we did when we were younger, because I also have a bit of a motto of like, if you can't really remember it, it might not be that special, or it might not be that great of a melody that is worth sticking to. So for us, a lot of the times, you know, there's two of us, so that helps. So, you know, that's two brains, that's two different memories. So at least we've got that kind of like accountability. But when we were younger, we used to record like all of our sessions, and sometimes you would end up with like, okay, this is like a 5-hour session, you know, and it's just chaos. I try to be a little more specific when I am like voice memoing something, and it's like, okay, we have the idea down. Now let's like record it right now. You're playing, we're singing, you know? But I don't think we use it as directly as we did when we were young songwriters, for whatever reason. I don't know why. Don't you think, Age?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think a lot of times when Allie and I are writing now, we're in a studio, and so we'll just demo the song in the moment.
Correct.
on an iPhone, which I just think is a better way to live with the song. But also, yeah, I mean, a lot of times if it's a great melody, we'll just remember it. You know, we're like melody freaks, and we're very specific about how a lyric intertwines with a melody, the cadence of the song, how it sounds, you know, does that word sing well? And so for us, voice memos are important, but not really the end all be all. If you can remember it, awesome. If you have a better demo and you've been in a studio, then even better.
Are either of you pen and paper people when it comes to lyrics, or strictly computer phone kind of people?
We're both. I think we really like pen and paper when we have it. And sometimes we're just doing it on our phone because it's the easiest way to kind of get the idea down in notes. But we're definitely both. We're not laptop. I'm not like getting a laptop out type of person. I'm like, it's either on my phone in a shared notes file with us and the other, you know, writer that's in the room, or it's like a little, you know, legal pad and pen. But I am specific about my pens. And it's not pencil. It's definitely, it's like a, you know, fine tip pen.
Okay. Yeah. Can I really quickly, let me say this, because I could do a whole website dedicated to the brand of pen and the color of ink that songwriters like. I mean, you're spot on. It's crazy how possessive they are, particular. So yeah. So Allie, do you have a certain color, certain type of pen, or does that not matter?
No, I like a black Uniball fine point pen, period. Yeah. And then I'm open to any type of paper, but I do prefer it to be lined.
Yeah, we pretty much, and it's funny because we did a deal with them and it came about in such a cool organic way, but it also doesn't necessarily tie into music as obviously as you'd think a band partnership would be. And it was with Uniball. And the reason why it worked is because Allie and I use Uniball pens constantly in the studio. So it is kind of, for me, I don't have good handwriting at all. So I tend to not use pen and paper, but when I do write, the only thing that actually can like force my hand to look like, oh, this is actually legible, is a Uniball fine point pen. It's bizarre. I don't know what it is about that damn pen, but it's really helped Allie and I throughout our process in the studio, because we always know when it's our writing. We're like, nope, that's our pen.
And the other thing is that you mentioned lined versus unlined. And I interviewed Daniel Lanois, the producer, this is about a year ago. And he mentioned how he does all of his lyrics on 18 by 22 art paper, unlined art paper. And it's not linear at all. There's thought bubbles, there's lines, there's lyrics here, lyrics there. There's kind of no linear process. The process isn't linear at all when it comes to songs. So AJ, how does that, is the process for both of you, or for you, is it linear or is it kind of all over the place when it comes to writing a song, or I guess just writing a song in general?
No, for me, it's linear. Like, I think it's the way my brain works. It's the way I look at things. Like, for me, it has to be, you know, lined paper, no like doodles around it. Like, I need a very clean space. And then from there, if we're like thinking of lyrics, I'll write it down. I'll cross it out. Below it, I'll put the new lyric. I might put like an option B underneath that option A. But for me, it's like, I like things. My brain needs a linear format for songwriting, which is kind of how I am in every way, which maybe sounds a little mechanical, but then it ends up being a really creative process. I just am not the type that has a lot of thought bubbles around the idea I'm focused on.
Yeah. How about you, Allie?
Same. Yeah. I don't love like crossing things out. I'm like very anal about, I don't know, like having everything look perfect and pretty. So I'll like rip up the paper and then restart over again. But that's why sometimes being on a phone is easy, because you can just delete and erase it and then write the new lyric. But I'm definitely all about keeping it kind of linear. There's not a lot of like thought bubbles and other things that are kind of being added on. It's all kind of like in a column and it's just being written down. And as you go, you know, maybe things change and shift, but.
Something Allie and I are kind of funny about is, you know, we'll get on a shared note with other writers. If we're working with like one other guy or two other guys, it's usually four of us max. Like, we don't really work with more than two people at a time. And when we're all on a shared note, we'll work on lyrics together and we'll float ideas back and forth. But then when we're done with the session, being that Allie and I end up revisiting it, and because we're such a duo and our brain just works as like one, we'll go back and we'll comb through lyrics on our own without having it as part of the shared note process, just so Allie and I can bounce new ideas off of each other and then bring it to those writers later. Not to be like sneaky and change it, but sometimes you have to just go through it and say, okay, what, now that I've left that session, what's right for the song in terms of what Allie and I would now do if we were just working on it alone?
I find that when I revise, you know, and I'm a prose writer, I'm not a songwriter, but I find that distance is an enormous asset to me, and that the worst time to revise is right after I've written, or right after I've revised. And you know, ideally, the more distance, the better. Do you use that as a deliberate part of your process, distance, and finding that that's a great way to kind of get a new perspective on a song?
Yeah, I think it's helped us in certain songs where, you know, it's been around for a while, the ideas kind of floated around in there and we're trying to extract the best possible ideas from ourselves to like get it all wrapped up in a bow. And sometimes stepping aside and being like, I'm not going to write or go back to the song for like a month. And then it feels kind of fresh and new when you do go back to it. I definitely feel like that helps us.
Yeah, I agree. I actually think some of the hardest music to write is holiday music. Because there's such a fine line between like telling a good story, but that seems fresh and from a new perspective, but also isn't cheesy, but has emotion and heart, but is also sweet. I mean, there's so many things that go into like a holiday song. And so Allie and I actually started writing this particular song in November or October. And we took a lot of time away from it. And now we're just finishing it up. And usually we write songs very quickly, but I actually find that certain songs do need more space than others. It kind of is a song by song case for me. at least. And the holiday song really needed the space. And now that we've given it that space, I think it's actually really, really good. You know, it won't come out for a year, but it'll be something that we can kind of maybe play with, and maybe we can write a couple more originals. But we haven't written any holiday music in a long time. And I actually think original holiday music's really hard.
Hmm. Why is it hard? Just because there's so much out there?
There's so much out there, and everything. It's really easy to write a song that either melodically or lyrically fits into the mold of what a holiday song is. Therefore, it loses its originality because you're putting it, it's almost its own genre. So I do feel like you have to be true to your genre and your style. But then on top of that, the lyrics need to paint a picture of Christmas time, whether it's, you know, I'm alone, I'm not with family, or this is what I want for Christmas, or something sweet and endearing, but something that also doesn't make you go, oh my gosh, I'm not going to want to play this song in 20 years from now. This is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very hard thing. It's a fine line. And Allie and I are just starting to write this, or finishing up this song that just kind of moves on personal experience. And I think that's what'll make it really special, is that it's like a personal account of our life. Otherwise, I think holiday music in general is just tricky.
Well, you're also up against, because you know every year the number one song is always going to be Mariah Carey. So it does. You're always. Right. I mean, I think it's number one this week. I think I just saw that.
It is,
so yeah. So I'm also interested in, you know, the ritual in general. I mean, I have a ritual to my writing process. For example, I write in one chair and revise in another. I'm a morning person. There are certain things I have to have with me certain times of day. Is that important to you deliberately, I guess? And Allie, we'll start with you. Is that important to you deliberately? Or do you feel like, oh, by the way, I guess there are certain things that I, or certain times a day that make me more, like, I know that absolutely about myself, but how important is the ritual to you, Allie?
I think the ritual is important, but I think for us, because we've been doing it for so long and we started so young and not really knowing that it would become like a profession, our rituals are maybe not as like conscientious as someone else's rituals. And I think that's just because we are kind of spontaneous types, and we like to stay kind of free flowing in the ways that we get inspiration and deliver inspiration. So I do know for us, you know, we're not morning people, so we're never going to get up and write a song at 9 a.m. Like, that's just not us. We want to have lunch. We want to go and, you know, get over to a writing session and write from like 1 to 7, you know, and have like a good, like 5-6 hours of dedicated time with a, you know, latte in there, some snacks. You know, I think going and taking like a walk around the block is always really helpful for AJ and I to clear our head. One of our collaborators lives in Denver, and he would kind of be like, we need to like go out and like walk for like 10 minutes. And we're like, okay. And so I definitely see something good in like getting outside of your space. But we don't really have like a lot of things that are like needed in the session. It's like, as long as there's a piano there, a guitar, you know, there's a mic that we can maybe record on. And we're able to, you know, have access to pen and paper or our phone for notes. We're pretty good. We don't need like a special mood set or anything like that. It's just as long as it's like, you know, after lunch or around lunchtime, and then it goes into the, you know, early evening, we're ready to rock.
Yeah. Jay, same thing. Yeah. So anything to add to that, or you, is that kind of the way you roll as well?
No, that's very much how we roll. I mean, I'm the same way. I think Allie and I are lucky that we're very similar, because otherwise I think it would be a tricky partnership. You know, one of us would maybe want to be writing in the morning, and the other one would be like, I'm not a morning person, I'm not doing this. But luckily we're very similar in the way we spend our days. So I'm with Allie. I think it's interesting when you get in a room with other writers, you know, like our friend from Nashville, he's like very much a morning person. He like gets up early, cooks a full Nashville breakfast, country breakfast, and then like starts writing. And that's beautiful. You know, that's kind of a different way of starting your day. For Allie and I, our day has to kind of start in other ways before we can start writing.
Yeah, to me, it's fascinating. I just interviewed last week Tim Burgess from the Charlatans, and he told me it's got to be, he has to be in a white room. And I didn't know if that was a metaphor. And he said, no, the room has to be white. It has to be a white room. Huh. And it's because I guess it's light that way. And it's got to be room ideally. And he'll kind of see which room in the house has the most light. And that's where he starts from. It's interesting stuff. Just as far as what we need. And I think knowing that about myself, at least, makes me more efficient. But hey, there are some people that, you know, it's crazy to hear that some people are middle of the night people, other are first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I actually, the thing that I have found interesting the past couple of years is how many people get ideas through doing mundane activities. So I think, Ali, you mentioned walking, but, and we'll talk about that in a minute because I think that's important, but also the number of songwriters who have told me they've gotten ideas by cleaning, washing dishes, vacuuming, you know, literally some kind of mundane activity that requires no brain power, totally. Lets the unconscious mind kind of, you know, come up and come to the forefront. So has it ever happened, Ali, we'll start with you. Has it ever happened to you where you have these mundane activities that require no thought? And I hear showering and all that kind of stuff, but any of those mundane activities where you get those song ideas?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm a bit of a like clean freak, you know, busy bee around the house. So that definitely happens if I'm like doing some kind of a project that, like you said, isn't really, you don't need a lot of brain power to accomplish it, but some idea will spark from it. I mean, I also feel like I get inspired by watching movies and reading. A lot of the times, you know, I'll read something and I'll be like, oh, that like inspires a lyric idea, you know, or whatever. But yeah, 100%, 100% that kind of stuff, triggers an idea that then is a jumping off point for a song.
Yeah. AJ, how about you? Do you get those ideas during mundane activities ever?
Yeah. For me, the number one activity that sparks ideas is driving, which I know is probably not the safest, but a lot of times in my car, in just silence, stuck in traffic or on the freeway or whatever, that's where I'll come up with like usually a melody line and I'll record it. I have so many voice notes in my phone that are based on a car ride. So for me, that's probably the most like mundane activity where I'll discover ideas. But I agree with Ali that film and TV and reading are three really great ways to capture a concept. You know, I think Bluettes is extremely moving, and we have a song called Blue Dress coming out on the next album that is not written inspired by that book, but I read that book right after and I was so moved by the color blue because of that book. And then it kind of painted a new picture for me in terms of the song and what the song means. And, you know, it's something that I'll probably just keep to myself and doesn't need to be detailed out, but it's something that now I have that I can kind of hold on to and go, oh, wow, that book has a beautiful connection to that song now. So yeah, I think books are an incredible portal into songwriting.
All right. Well, I was going to ask this question anyway, so we'll talk about it now. So, you know, as a former English professor, I love to read and I'm a voracious reader. And I do find, I mean, in generally, that there's a pretty clear through line between lyrics and, you know, and reading. Most songwriters I talk to read a lot, and it's kind of obvious. It should be obvious that there's a connection there. So AJ, we'll start with you. I mean, do you try to read every day? If you do, are there certain genres that you like, certain authors that you find maybe make their way into your songwriting? Not necessarily, but who do you like to read?
For me, gosh, I mean, it's so, I used to read voraciously. I mean, like book every 2 weeks, and now that has changed. I mean, I feel like life and time and the time suck of being on your phone and driving and being in the car and getting to an appointment has kind of completely sidelined some of my reading. But currently I'm reading Paul Bowles and Jane Bowles, who I love. Margarita Duras, I don't know if I'm saying her name right, but I absolutely love her work. Joan Didion. Patti Smith. I just bought Patti Smith's new picture, you know, book of pictures, book of days. So for me, it's people that inspire like some sort of California culture movement. Some writers I read are foreign leaning, but other writers, you know, in terms of like Joan Didion, Patti Smith, people like that, it feels very grounded in the art scene and music, the culture of our time. And I feel like that helps in terms of modern day storytelling as a songwriter. So I think someone like Patti Smith is probably one of my biggest inspirations. I can't call on some of her writing that is drawn writing out of me, but I'm sure reading her has somehow done that just accidentally, because I've read, I mean, every book she's written.
Yeah. Allie, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, AJ and I have similar book taste, and we kind of read, you know, books, and have moments of like, you know, voraciously reading, and then moments where we're just kind of like, oh, I haven't read a book in a month. That's weird. We try to on the road more, because it's nice to like read in your bunk and kind of be in your own, you know, space. And that's like a nice way to unwind. But yeah, I mean, Joan Didion, Eve Babbitt, my husband is a huge reader and like has a huge collection of books, that he's brought into our home that I'm always like fighting to like organize and like situate. And I'm always like, oh my gosh. I mean, I love books and I would love to just live in a room of books, but I want it to be like organized in some kind of a way. So for me, I really enjoy also picking up books that he has bought or he has, you know, collected over the years, and I might not even know who the writer is. And just starting from there. But I'm definitely someone that enjoys being in a bookstore. There's something that's very calming about being around books. We always loved reading as children. It was something our mom really instilled in us, you know, where we would try to read X amount of books over the summer, and then you would get like a free pizza at Pizza Hut. That was like a huge thing for us in the late 90s. So I definitely associate like really great memories with reading. And I usually am always reading whenever I'm on vacation, because I have a book that I've brought, or a couple of books that I brought with me, you know, for the airplane, for the beach, for, you know, sitting in a cafe alone. So I think that, you know, it's a wonderful gift to be able to have books around you at all times is really, you know, very healing and inspiring. I just bought the new Bob Dylan book, on song modern. What is it called? Modern Songs.
I think so. Like, we'll figure it out.
You can double check that. It's about, you know, modern song. Yeah. It's, what is it? Oh, there it is. The Philosophy of Modern Song. Bob Dylan right here.
There you go.
And I want to read it after my husband's done reading it. So that'll be on my bookshelf for the next.
Yeah. And you both mentioned, you know, movies, TV shows, and it reminds me of what Ernest Hemingway said. He said, all writers should go to art galleries to get inspired. And I thought I think that's an interesting point, that we need to look outside of our genre for inspiration.
Sure. Yeah. I'm headed to the Hammer Museum on Friday to go see the Joan Didion exhibit. I'm really excited about. I think going to museums and art galleries is really important. And even if it feels like you might not have the full knowledge of the art that you're even looking at, I don't think that really matters. You know, I think sometimes people can be intimidated by art in many different forms, whether that's, you know, a certain artist that they should know exists, or a certain author that is super well known that they haven't read. I think as long as you can just jump in and not be ashamed of having not read or seen or heard who that artist is, I think that's really important. I think, you know, there should be no judgment about it. I think it's exciting when someone that, you know, many people have been inspired by is all of a sudden a new inspiration for someone else. That's amazing.
AJ. Okay. Couple more questions. One, I think I'm a big runner, and I firmly believe, and I've actually written about this in the Washington Post, the link between exercise and higher order thinking, cognitive function. There's loads of research that shows that about 20 to 30 minutes of exercise, and by exercise, they're defining it as 60% max heart rate, which is not much more than a moderate walk. They put people on a treadmill for about 20 minutes, 60% max heart rate, and then after that, give them a battery of tests. And those people always score higher than people who didn't exercise because of a chemical in the brain called brain-derived neurotrophic factor that gets secreted through increased blood flow, which is exercise. So about 90 minutes post-exercise, we're at our creative peak. So there's loads of research behind it as far as the impact, the immediate impact that aerobic exercise has on creativity. So when you tell me that you go walking and doing those things, you get ideas. There's actually research behind it.
Oh, I was just going to say, not only does it help with anxiety and depression and, you know, mental health overall, but it absolutely leads to a more creative, free-flowing, just energetically moving day that I feel like we don't always give ourselves if we don't work out and take the time to start our day that way. I mean, I think, you know, for Allie and I, we for a long time were really dedicated to 5 days, 6 days a week workouts. And a lot of that, I don't want to blame touring or just the industry and how busy it's gotten, but it has kind of slowed the pace down for the time we take to really get out there and work out when we really could be doing things that are super simple. So that's actually my biggest goal of 2023 in January is to get back into yoga and Pilates, which those two things bring me a lot of joy. They improved my balance, my flexibility, my depression. And I do believe that going in after, you know, great class or a great workout into a songwriting session, you're probably going to be way more efficient than had you not. So I couldn't agree more with that theory because it's proven to be true.
Yeah. Allie, how about you? So you said, I think you mentioned earlier that you go out and walk, right? And those ideas come to you when you're walking.
For sure. And AJ, I mean, to double up on what she said, you know, it's hard to find schedule sometimes in touring. And the thing that we kind of have number one on our list when we are on the road is sleep. So if our body is really asking for that extra sleep, we give into it. I think it's a way for us to not get sick. It's a way for us to stay, you know, healthy and energized and put on a great, you know, hour and a half show, you know, five days a week, 4 to 5 days a week. So for us, definitely, you know, working out, is always going to, I think, help our brain power and also just our happiness. I was getting into like swimming at hotels when we were on the road and just doing that for like laps for like 20, 30 minutes. And I really enjoy doing that. So I hope that I can stay consistent when we go back out on the road in the spring, and be diligent about swimming. And if it's not that, then it's, you know, going on a hike with my dog or, you know, going to the gym and it doesn't take a lot of time, you know, even if you're doing, like you said, 30 minutes or a 45 minute, you know, workout that is getting your heart rate up. That's enough.
And that's it for the latest episode of Songwriters on Process. Don't forget, you can find all of my interviews with over 200 songwriters on my Songwriters on Process website at songwritersonprocess.com, going all the way back to 2010. You can read them, watch them, or listen to them. So until next time, thanks for listening.